सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदम् पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः This morning, long session. We just understood Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada's answer to the Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi's objection. And thereafter, we saw the meaning of the mantra, Bhashyam, and the meaning of the ninth mantra. No ritual, no practice of meditation prescribed in the Veda, when performed, followed, practiced, will be non-productive, will be definitely any ritual or any meditation, anything prescribed in the Shastram is meant for following, not for avoiding. And even though the ritual performed is effective, upasanam meditation practiced independently without combining it with the karma also is effective, productive. Still, when they both are combined and practiced, the effect will be more powerful. We have a better result, much higher, greater result. Just to understand this fact, to make us understand this fact, Upanishad itself condemns mere performance of ritual and mere practice of meditation. So we should not, need not take it seriously. Then we have to enter into the 10th mantra. And this morning we saw the introduction to the 10th mantra. We just started seeing the introduction. Let us see here now. And before even beginning the 10th mantra, we have to remind ourselves of the different meanings of the words Vidya and Avidya when they are used in the context of Karmakanda. Vidya and Avidya mean knowledge and ignorance when they are used in the context of Jnanakanda. When they are used in the context of Karma, the word Vidya means Upasanam, the word Avidya means Karma ritual. You should also remember the word Karma literally means action. So when we understand Karma Yoga, Karma Yoga, converting our actions into a preparatory discipline as yoga, we can include all our activities, all our duties. That's why I said religious activity or sacred activity. Sacred or mundane, religious or worldly. So whatever is the activity, all our actions must be, duties must be done properly in conformity with dharma. That is understanding. But in Karma Kanda section, whenever the word karma comes, even though it means action, we should take it as ritual. So ritual means what? Even following the rituals, the forms of worship enjoined by the scripture. Nitya karmani, daily worship, etc. So the word vidya means jnanam, devata jnanam. Please remember this. Vidya is equal to devata jnanam. Devata jnanam is equal to upasanam. Upasanam is equal to meditation. Avidya is equal to karma. Karma is equal to ritual. Okay? Now, the 10th mantra which we are going to see, we are going to understand samuchchayaha means what? We only know the meaning of samuchchayaha as synthesis or combining or combination. So combining two is samuchchayaha. But combination of what? What should be combined? The instruction for what is samuchchayaha? What should, when can we take something as samuchchayaha? That is being said in the 10th mantra. So let us read here. I said after this, I am reading in page number 57, Bhashyam. This morning I just read one line and stopped. Tatra avantara phala bhedam vidya karmanoho. தத்ர அவாந்தர பலபேதம் வித்யா கர்மணோ. ப்ளீஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் வித் த டூ டைப்ஸ் ஆஃப் ரிசல்ட்ஸ். ஒன் இஸ் முக்கிய பலம், முக்கிய பலம் பிரைமரி ரிசல்ட். அவாந்தர பலம் மீன்ஸ் செகண்டரி ரிசல்ட் பட் ஸ்டில் செப்பரேட் ரிசல்ட். முக்கியம் பலம், அவாந்தரம் பலம். பலம் லிட்ரலி மீன்ஸ் ஃப்ரூட். So result, fruit of an action or result of an action, result of whether physical, mental, oral action is phalam. Avantara phalam, mukhyam phalam. If a ritual performed produces its phalam, the ritual is performed, the ritual produces its own phalam, then that ritual has its own independent result, then that ritual can stand independently. It has its own phalam. Suppose you practice upasanam meditation. Meditation independently practiced also produces result by itself. So karma and upasanam, devata jnanam and karma, both can produce their own independent results. And the separate result of karma is called secondary result, avantaram phalam. Separate result of meditation is called avantaram phalam. Avantara phalam or avantaram phalam. By combining both, if the result comes, that result is called mukhyam phalam. Okay. Now here, வித்யா கர்மணோஹோ அவாந்தர பலபேதம் சமுச்சய காரணம் ஆக. கர்மா பர்ஃபார்ம் ப்ரொடியூசஸ் இட்ஸ் ஓன் ரிசல்ட். மெடிடேஷன் பிராக்டிஸ்ட் ஆல்சோ செப்பரேட்லி ஹேஸ் இட்ஸ் ஓன் பலம். Suppose if mental activity meditation or physical activity karma, if both is karmas, any karma has its own independent result, means it is called angi. A ritual is also called angi. Meditation is also called angi if it has its own separate result. Result becomes its anga. An action, a ritual which has separate fruit is called angi. Meditation which has its own result is called angi. If both are angis, both can produce results separately, both can give you results, then those two angis can be combined. Combining those two, which can produce results separately, alone is called samuchayaha. Okay? So, dvayoho anginoho samuchayaha or angidvayasya samuchayaha. The reason is given. Samuchaya karanam. What is the reason for combining? What is called samuchayaha? You cannot combine anything with anything. The ritual performed must be capable of producing its own result separately, whether it is combined or not. So meditation practiced also must be capable of producing its own result. Then both are called angis. Okay. Palavat means that which has its own result is called palavat. If it is palavat, then it is called angi. If it is angi, and the two angis alone can be combined. So combining the two angis, angi ritual, angi upasanam, angi karma, angi upasanam is called what? Angi dvayasya samuchayaha is called samuchayaha. Why it is said here? Because, let us say the next one. Anyatha, otherwise, palavad apalavatoho. Suppose one ritual is there which cannot produce result by itself. There are some rituals, when you perform, those rituals themselves, a given ritual by itself cannot produce a result. It is called apalavat. That which cannot produce a result by itself is apalavat. If it is apalavat, then it can be effective only when it is combined with another ritual or upasanam which has phalam by itself. If one given ritual does not have the capacity to produce a result, if that is combined with something else which has independent results of its own, then that non-productive ritual, non-productive, non-effective meditation combined with something productive or effective ritual or meditation, then that combination is not called samuchayaha. Okay? And that non-combining the non-effective, non-productive apalavat karma, which is apalavat, is called angam. A ritual which does not produce its own phalam separately is said to be its angam. It is a part of a ritual, a part of a given discipline, given meditation. One can produce phalam, one does not produce phalam. If you combine both, then that does not become, that is not counted as samuchayaha. Both must be independently, separately capable of producing results. Only then you call it angi. No, what I am saying, two angis can be combined. One angam and angi, when they are there, it is taken as one ritual only. It is not two. So, anga anginoho samuchayaha is not, there is no samuchaya there. There is no combination. It is not taken as combination of two. When do you call samuchaya as samuchaya? When two rituals or two upasanas or one ritual or one upasana, both have their own independent results and both are combined, that alone is said to be samuchayaha. Okay, in the very beginning he already says what is samuchayaha. Isn't it? If one ritual doesn't produce any result and you are combining it with upasana, then it is not angidvaya samuchaya, it is not combination, it is not samuchayaha. That will not produce this mukhya palam. That is what I want to say. It's called Anga Angi Bhavana. Anga Angi Bhavana means what? Anga Angi Bhavana or Anga Angi means one ritual is non-productive. Meditation is productive. And one joins the other. It becomes only one action. So it doesn't produce mukhya palam. Whereas when two different actions and both are effective and they alone can be combined, only then it is called combination of, synthesis of two productive actions. One ritual and upasanam are two rituals or two upasanams. And that is called angi. What is angi? That palavat is angi. Apalavat is angam. Is it clear now? And those angam and angi, palavat and apalavat must be how? They must be close, near. Sannihi. Let us see that now. Anyatha. Palavat. Apalavatoho. Palavadapalavatoho. Sannihitayoho. Anga angita yevasyat. Suppose one palavat, one apalavat, if they are combined, there is no samuchyaha, there is only anga angita. It is taken as only one action. Okay. Iti arthaha. Now we'll read that mantra. So what is the lesson we learn from the 10th mantra? So 9th mantra presented condemnation of performing a ritual, practicing meditation independently, separately. Isn't it? Separately practicing. So mere performance of ritual, practice of meditation is condemned at the 9th mantra. Now 10th mantra gives us what is samuchayaha. That's all. 10th mantra says, what is samuchayaha? What is synthesis of ritual and meditation? Look at this, read the sentence now. Anyadeva ahuhu.
Anyadeva ahuhu.
Vidyaya.
Vidyaya.
Anyadahuhu.
Anyadahuhu.
Avidyaya.
Avidyaya.
Iti shushruma. Dhiranam. Yenas. Tad. Vichachakshire. Vichachakshire. Anyadeva ahuhu.
Anyadeva ahuhu.
Vidyaya. Anyat ahuhu avidyaya. Anyadahura vidyaya. Iti shushruma. Dhiranam. Ye naha. Tad. Vichachakshire. Simple. Now we can relax. What is samuchayaha? What is synthesis of two actions? Anyadeva ahuhu vidyaya. Vidya in this context means what? Karma. Ritual. Huh? Upasanam. It's good, you're not fresh. Vidya in this context means upasanam. So vidyaya anyat eva ahuhu means vidya Upasanam has its own separate phalam. So Vidya is what? Upasanam has, meditation has its own result. Therefore, meditation is Angi. Anyat ahuhu avidyaya. Avidya means karma. Few times you have to listen. Avidya means karma in this context. Avidyaya means karmana. Anyat eva ahuhu. Anyat ahuhu. Anyat means other, different, separate. So karma, the ritual has its own separate result. Meditation, upasanam also has its own result. Who said that? Ahuhu. It means our teachers, our ancestors, people who have, you know, the parampara, they have made very clear, definitely ritual has its own result. Meditation has its own result. Therefore, ritual is also Angi. Meditation is also Angi. Angi means complete by itself. Is also complete by itself. Ritual by itself is complete. Meditation by itself is complete. Because both can produce results independently. So, anyat eva ahuhu vidyaya. Anyat ahuhu avidyaya. That's the meaning of the first sentence. Iti shushrumaha. This, each being effective by itself, karma being productive of its own result, meditation being productive of its own result, you know, has been heard. We have heard. We hear shushrumaha. And where do we hear? Where do we come to know this fact? It said, dhiranam. Dhiranam. We have to add one word there. Vachanam is not there. Okay, but we are supplying the word. Vachanam, dhiranam, vachanam. Dhiraha means men of profound knowledge. Learned people who are informed in the knowledge of Veda Shastram. People who are informed in the knowledge of Veda Shastram. And those people are said to be intelligent, wise people. Dhiranam Vachanam Sushruma. We have heard words of men of wisdom. Intent, no? People who are informed. And who are those people? Ye naha tad vichachakshire. They had taught us. They had taught. Naha, those people who have taught us. What they have taught us? They have told us this information, this, that they have their own independent results. Your karma is also Angi, upasanam also is Angi. Therefore, they can be combined. Okay. So, 10th mantra tells what is samuchayaha. Okay. Let's read the now simple meaning. We can just go to this reading bhashya. Anyat prithageva. Anyat means, now we are reading the bhashya. Simple meaning, you all can relax, nothing serious here, very simple. I am going to read the meaning. What is actually conveyed by the 10th mantra is karma and upasanam produce their own separate results. Even they both are two angis. And two angis can be combined. That's all it is said. Nothing much. We'll read the Bhashyam now. Anyate. Anyat means what? Prithak. Prithak. Anyat is a mula, original word in the mantra. And Sankaracharya's meaning is what? Prithak. Prithak means separate. Prithak yeva means separate. Definitely it is separate. Vidyaya kriyate. Vidyaya kriyate. Separate result is produced by meditation. Separate result is produced by meditation. Phalam vidyaya kriyate. Phalam vidyaya phalam kriyate. Result prithageva phalam kriyate. Separate result is produced by meditation. Next, please read that now. Iti ahuhu. Vadanti. People say. Generally, people who have profound knowledge in Karma Kanda or Veda Shastram, and they say. Next sentence. Vidyaya.
Vidyaya.
Devalokaha.
Devalokaha.
You all know this sentence now. Vidyaya Devalokaha.
Vidyaya.
It's a mantra quoted from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Even if you have not studied Brihadaranyakam, if you read Ishavasyam, then 2-3 times it's repeated. This important mantra quoted. Vidyaya Devalokaha. Vidyaya
Devalokaha.
And where is this mantra from? Quotation from a 16th mantra, the 6th section of 1st chapter of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. What does it say? This mantra states how meditation produces result. Meditation is effective. Means by the practice of meditation, upasanena, no, upasanena, devalokaha, the highest of the worlds known as devalokaha, is accomplishable as a result of meditation. Highest of the worlds known as devalokaha, otherwise brahmalokaha, is accomplishable as a result of meditation. So this statement from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad proves that upasanam has its own prithag phalam, separate result. Therefore upasanam is angi. So making us understand. Is it clear? Next sentence. Vidyaya.
Vidyaya.
Tad arohanti. Same mantras are repeated by Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary. Vidyaya.
Tad arohanti.
Not only in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the phalam of meditation, result of meditation is mentioned, even in Shatapatha Brahmanam. Shatapatha Brahmanam, another portion of Veda, where another mantra is given. What is that mantra? Vidyaya.
Tad arohanti.
What does it mean? Iti shrutehe. Shrutehe. There is another statement of Veda. Iti shrutehe means there is another statement of Veda, and this, okay, which is actually from Shatapatha Brahmanam, and that statement also restates the same fact. What is that?
vidyaya tad arohanti. People climb on to that as a result of meditation. People climb on to that as a result of meditation means what? People go to higher lokas. Same sentence. People definitely, whoever meditates, people who meditate go to Devalokaha, highest of the lokas. So highest of the lokas is accomplishable as a result of meditation. This is one fact stated by two mantras. One mantra from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, another mantra from Shatapatra Brahmanam. So what does Shankara Bhagavata want to know here? Which means meditation has its own prithak palam, anyat palam, separate result, therefore it is an angi. And small information only. From mantra, then from bhashyam, we are understanding. Okay. Next sentence. Anyadahuhu avidyaya. Now he is commenting on the second half of the first line. Anyadahuhu avidyaya. Okay, they separate phalam for the ritual also. Karma also produces its own independent result. And for which also he quotes a mantra from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. You know why? Shankara Bhagavatpada, why does he quote mantras from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad? If he himself writes something, definitely people will not question, Samuchayavadis will come, they will come and ask. They will have their own reasons. So when he says something, it must have an authentic information, source of information. What is the validity? How do you say definitely karma has independent results of its own? What is the proof? Veda says. Veda says means then we should not talk. Okay. No more question. I won't accept Veda. Then that means we have no problem here. Okay. Once you don't accept Veda, then that's a completely different question. Once I surrender Veda as a means of knowledge, then whatever Veda says, I listen. We don't need to blindly accept everything, but you see, Veda properly unfolded, no, will not contradict your reasoning. Then you cannot question, you have to accept. Okay. Anyadahuhu avidyaya. No, for that he quotes another mantra. Karmana kriyate karmana pitrulokaha. We'll not forget this. Karmana kriyate karmana pitrulokaha vidyaya vidyaya devalokaha karmana pitrulokaha. Karmana pitrulokaha, very simple. Karmana, so pitrulokaha is another higher world, which is not highest of the worlds, but it's a higher world. Pitrulokaha. As a result of performing a ritual, pitrulokaha is accomplishable. One can attain the pitrulokaha as a result of performing a ritual. This is the meaning of the mantra. This mantra is quoted from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad again. Again, same 16th mantra from the 5th section of the 1st chapter. It's all given in the 1st chapter of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So, karmana pitrulokaha. Iti shrutehe. So, it means Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantras have proved, have confirmed this fact that karma is also angi, upasanam is also angi, because karma has prithag palam, upasanam also has prithag palam, separate results. Therefore, they both can be combined. Samuchyaha is possible. Ityevam Shushruma. Shushruma means what? Shrutavantaha. Shushruma means we have heard. Vayam. Iti Shushruma Vayam. Shrutavantaha Vayam means we heard. From whom? Whose words have you heard? Not local, somebody, passerby person's information. There are some stray news coming from somewhere. No, it's not somebody has said casually. No, seriously, was, you know, uttered a fact. It is an authentic, valid information got from our own teachers who are in the parampara. Go and read that now. Ityevam Shushruma Sutavanto Vayam. This fact we have heard from. Dhiranam. Dhiranam is word from mantra. What is Shankara's meaning? Dhimatam. Dhiman means wise. Wise means not Atma Jnani here. Dhiraha Dhiman. Dhiranam Dhimatam. We have heard the words of wise people means not Atma Jnani here. Here wise people means people who have profound knowledge, highly informed in the Karma Kanda and Veda Shastra. Perform knowledge of the Shastra. And for Karma Kanda also we have what? For entire Veda we have Sampradaya. Sampradaya means what? We have lineage of teachers. Is it traditional teaching methodology? We have teachers also. From time immemorial there is a lineage of teachers. So it is said here, these dhiraha, dhimantaha, the wise people who are mentioned here, we have heard this new fact. We have heard this fact. This is a fact. We have heard it from wise people. People who are informed. So it is said here, who are the people? Ye acharyaha. Acharya, those teachers, okay, Acharya, nah for us, nah asmabhyam, no, tat karma, cha, jnanancha, vichachakshire is a word from the mantra. What is the Shankaracharya's meaning? Vyakhyatavantaha. Vyakhyatavantaha. So, ye acharyaha, those teachers, our own teachers, have explained to us. Who says this? We have. Acharyas are not explained to us. Shankara Bhagavatpada is explaining to us now. In his commentary he has explained. And Shankaracharya says, know that the teachers who are in the lineage of unbroken lineage, beginningless, endless, unbroken lineage of teachers. In Guru Parampara, we have our ancestors' teachers, and those teachers have told us, given this, passed on this information, which means it's the most authentic, valid information. we should take it seriously. Means what? We don't need to doubt. Does meditation produce itself? How do I know? Does the ritual produce itself? Kindle the fire, offer oblations, pour ghee, chant mantra. How does it produce phalam? How do we know? Practice meditation. You practice meditation, how do I know that I'll go to Devaloka? I sit here and close my eyes and practice meditation. How can I go to what is the proof that I will go to Devaloka? Has anybody gone to Devaloka, come back and told you? I can go back and tell people, I have been to Bahamas. I have been to yoga center, yoga retreat center. I can tell people. Because I go back from here. I can go and talk. But people who have gone to heaven, we don't know whether they have gone. And people who have gone there, they can come back and tell us. So it is non-verifiable matter for belief. Isn't it? See, ritual we perform, it produces result, its own result. What is the proof? It's a non-verifiable matter for belief. You cannot disprove, no, ritual does not produce result at all. Can you disprove? No, we cannot disprove. Nor can other person who performs prove? No. Similarly, somebody says, if you practice meditation, as a result of practicing meditation, you will go to highest of the worlds called Brahma Lokaha. Who has gone to Brahma Loka and come back? I went to Brahma Loka, very nice. There is no proof. Can you prove there is no Brahma Loka at all? Because we don't see. It is not, we don't experience here. We cannot prove definitely it is there, you will go there. We cannot disprove that it is doesn't exist. Who says all humbug? I don't believe. Where is the heaven above? It is disproved, is it? We cannot prove. See, anything which can neither be proved nor can be disproved is a matter for belief. Okay. So we should take the matter for belief as a matter for belief. And here what is the problem? We should have Shraddha. Because we have Shraddha in the words of the Shastram. As a one of the sixfold disciplines to prepare oneself for Jnanam is what? Shraddha. Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. Isn't it? Because later on, whatever is taught in Vedanta, in Upanishads, in Jnanakanda of the Veda, Upanishads, in Vedanta Shastram, when the nature of reality is unfolded, isn't it? There, what is revealed is not a matter for belief. It's a fact. Fact means it can be verified. Fact is verifiable. A matter for belief means non-verifiable. Heaven is there or not? Can you verify? It's a non-verifiable matter for belief. But tat tumasi, you are the truth, is a fact. Aham Brahma Asmi is a fact. Fact means verifiable. Belief, matter for belief means what? There is some belief, verifiable also that. But these are all heaven, ritual produces result. The practice of meditation will take you to heaven. This is all matter for, non-verifiable matter for belief. So because Veda Shastram ultimately teaches the abstract fact, and reveals the absolute knowledge, which is a verifiable fact. Therefore, whatever is said in the Veda has a meaning. Even though it is not verifiable, still it is authentic source of information. Is it clear? But Veda does not say you must believe or you don't need to believe. And Veda says these lokas are there. You can practice meditation, go to higher loka, enjoy your higher lokas. And when the punyam gets exhausted, you have to come back also. Even though Veda talks about the higher loka, Veda also states the fact going to heaven is not an ultimate goal of human life. Even though Veda talks about the heaven, Veda does not say going to heaven is the highest of the goals. What are the highest of the human goals? Moksha in terms of jnanam. Knowledge of the truth right now here in this world where you are living as a human being, you can discover the truth. And discovering the truth is the absolute end, ultimate goal, which itself is moksha. But still Veda talks about higher worlds. Is it clear? That is the difference between other cultures and Vedic culture, Vedic tradition. Others stop with the heaven. But here, heaven is discussed, not even one higher world, with many higher worlds, Pitruloka. Isn't it? We have so many, seven worlds above. The highest of the lokas is Devalokaha. So, Upasanena Vidyaya Devalokaha Karmana Pitruloka, by performing a ritual, by doing one's nitya karma, as a result of that karma, punyam one earns, one can go to higher loka, pitruloka. Who knows what is pitruloka, what is devaloka, why should we believe, how can we believe, who can prove it? I cannot disprove either. It's only a non-verifiable matter for belief. Therefore, how should I take it? So, we have Shraddha in the Veda Shastram. Because we have Shraddha in the Shastram, it is not an information which comes from ordinary people, some passerby, not some, isn't it? It is a most authentic, valid information from, comes from our the parampara. Teaches. So what he says here, look at this. Ye acharyaha naha asmabhyam tat karma cha jnanancha. Remember, in this context, the word jnana means upasanam. Vichachakshire vyakhyatavantaha tesham ayam agamaha. So ayam agamaha means this information actually comes from, he says, paramparyagataha. Paramparyagataha agamaha paramparyagataha ityartaha. What he says, when the mantra says, this information is from ye naha vichachakshire, means our teachers who come in this unbroken lineage of teachers, and they have passed on this authentic information, valid information. Therefore, it is not to be ignored. We should take it. So what is that now? Definitely, performance of a ritual produces the result. And what is the result? One can go to Pitrulokaha. And practice of meditation produces result. What is the result? One can go to Devalokaha. Which means, these two, karma and upasanam, they separately, independently, they produce their own two results. Therefore, they both are angis. And these two angis alone can be combined. So, combination of two angis. Angis means angi with karma, angi upasanam is called samuchayaha. Okay? It's called establishing what is samuchayaha. Now, 10th mantra is over. I'm happy, we're going on to next mantra. We are not song, bad Swamiji. We are moving. We are progressing. Okay. Simple, isn't it? Now it is very clear for all of you. What is samuchayaha? Even if I come and wake up you up in the midnight, I ask you, will tell me. Sleeping, you can tell. Combination of two angis is samuchayaha. What is an angi? That which has its own independent, separate phalam. Vidyancha.
Vidyancha.
Avidyancha.
Avidyancha.
Yaha.
Tadveda.
Ubhayagam saha. Avidyaya. Mrityum tirtva. Vidyaya. Amritam ashnute. Vidyancha. Avidyancha. Yaha tadveda ubhayam saha avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya amrutam ashnute. So here I said 9th, 10th and 11th is three mantras discuss karma upasana samuchayaha. I told that. So first 9th mantra only presented condemnation of performing mere karma, practicing mere upasana. Okay. And the second mantra, the 10th mantra, established the samuchayaha. What is samuchayaha? Upasana is angi, karma is angi, therefore samuchayaha is possible. That is made very clear in 10th mantra. Now 11th mantra tells, if a person practices ritual, performs ritual along simultaneously together, he also practices upasanam, then what will be the benefit? What is the mukhya palam? Okay, he must enjoy mukhya palam, not avantara palam. Mukhya palam. Mukhya palam is not loka praptihi. Avantara palam is what? Loka prapti. Attainment of loka, is it? Lokam is what? Avantara phalam. Karmana de pitra lokaha, it's avantara phalam. Vidyaya deva lokaha, avantara phalam. But what is mukhya phalam? Not loka. You're going to understand here why it is emphasized to combine karma with upasanam. Understand now why meditation is emphasized? You're all doing lot of work, but why you're all compelled to also practice meditation? To become subtle, isn't it? To enjoy real benefit. We'll see. Interesting palam, we'll see that. So it is said here, so karma upasana samuchaya palam, the benefit of combining, synthesizing karma and upasanam is discussed in this 11th mantra. What is the benefit? Karma upasana samuchaya phalam. Let us read it. Vidyam cha avidyam cha. Vidyam cha avidyam cha. Vidya means upasana. Avidya means karma. Ah, very good. I tell you, it's a very important thing, you know, because in that mind will go only to knowledge and ignorance. Okay. Vidyam cha avidyam cha ubhayam means what? Both. Yaha sveda, one who follows. He who follows. The word Veda means knows. The word Veda also means follows. Okay. Literally the tongue is Veda means knows. Okay, here follows. Yaha Veda. Yaha means whoever follows. Yaha is a relative pronoun. Not specifically this person. He who follows. The one who follows. Together. Saha. The word Saha, when it is used with third instrumental case, it means along with. If it is simply used with the nominative case, it means together. Saha is an indeclinable expression, which means along with, which also means together. So when does it mean along with? If it is used with the third case, instrumental case, it means along with. If it is used with the nominative case, it means together. Our single sentence. Ishwaraha. Ishwaraha is the youngest in the group for me. Second. Ishwaraha. Pustakena saha. Na marjalena saha agachati. Marjalaha means cat. Okay. Ishwaraha marjalena saha agachati. Ishwara comes along with the cat. So marjalena saha, there saha is used for the third case, then it means along with. Ishwaraha jnaneshwari cha saha agachataha. So Ishwar and Jnaneshwari come together to the class. So saha, used with the nominative case, means together. Used with an instrumental case means along with. And here saha means together. Is it clear? Now ubhayam saha. Saha is very important. Why important? Only then you can get mukhya palam. If you know what mukhya palam is, then you will be interested in samuchaya. We are only interested in avantara palam. No, I am not interested in mukhya palam. I want avantara palam. I want to go to devaloka. Then you don't need to combine. Once you know the palam, you know the greater value of mukhya palam. Avantara palam is great, going to heaven. With a greater value of mukhya palam, and naturally you would be interested in samuchayaha. You will do karma, you will also practice meditation. Is it clear? With physical oral activities must be combined with exclusive mental activity called meditation. That is why even if you go to any acharyas, any traditional school also, anywhere you go, first discipline they know what they will ask you to do? Japaha. Any acharya will first give mantra upadesha. And the mantra is given,
You are asked to repeat that mantra, focusing attention on the mantra. Even for a beginner, it's very difficult. Even if you say 5 times, my mind will go somewhere. So chant this mantra 188 times mornings. The guru gives mantra upadesha. And you start doing, mind will go somewhere. Every day sitting, focusing, that mind can sit in mantra. So japa is first given as a pre-preparation for even meditation. A japa itself, you do it mentally, it becomes a manasavya, it becomes a meditation. Mentally if you do, it becomes meditation. Now why I am saying, even though we perform, suppose nowadays if we take it as for present day, nowadays we do rituals, light the lamp, show the arati, show the deepa, dupa, naivedya, all those things we offer, we do namaskaram, it's all karma. We keep sitting quietly, doing a japa mentally. Of course, it's all different units of action form one worship, act of worship. Singing bhajan, chanting, it's all arati, naivedyam, all these different units of actions form one act of worship. And there, it's all karma. And you're asked to sit quietly before or after for some time to meditate. That is, understand now why we have to combine. We combine, you have prithak, not avantara phalam, getti mukhya phalam. Okay. I do not know how many of you chant Vishnu Sahasranam and all here. Even if we are given to the discipline of practicing, chanting Vishnu Sahasranama, Lalita Sahasranama, even there we have this dhyana shlokas. Before you start chanting the dhyana shlokas, you are supposed to know the meaning of those dhyana shlokas. You are supposed to visualize the description of Devi there, a description of Lord Vishnu there. You are supposed to close your eyes and quietly first visualize the meaning of the verses in dhyana shloka. It becomes upasana. Then you are supposed to chant. The parayanam becomes vachikam karma. The dhyanam becomes manasam karma. It becomes karma upasana samuchaya. Then it becomes effective, more effective. Is it clear?
Yeah.
That's why yesterday also I said, even this morning I mentioned that palam is mentioned here. Yadeva vidyaya karoti shraddhaya upanishada tadeva viryavattaram bhavati. Chandogya Upanishad mantra says, when you combine, and definitely it becomes viryavattaram, becomes much more efficacious. So vidyam cha avidyam cha yaha tad veda ubhayam saha. One who follows both upasanam and karma together simultaneously. Together. Means first he meditates, then he does the karma, like that. What is the benefit? Avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya amritam ashnute. The second line presents the mukhya phalam. Second line presents mukhya phalam. 11th, 10th mantra only said this avantara phalam is there. It didn't say what is avantara phalam. But Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary, by quoting the Upanishad mantras, he made clear what is avantara phalam for both. But Upanishad, you are interested in showing what is avantara phalam.
Because Upanishad's aim is to make us follow the combinations and combine both. So Upanishad presents the Mukhya Palam. Look at this. Avidyaya Mrityum Tirtva Vidyaya Amrita Mashnute. So the person who practices meditation and performs ritual, combining them together, as a result of practice of, as a result of performance of ritual, he enjoys the benefit of Mrityu Taranam. The word Mrityu literally means death. Okay. But please understand, in this context, Mrityu does not mean death. Be very careful. Ishavasi Upanishad, the word Mrityu does not mean death. It says swabhavikam karma, natural instinctive behavior, natural instinctive actions. Mrityuhu, one word, implies natural instinctive actions. Improper actions. Our actions and behavior revealing our mental unrefinement, unrefined, uncultured, uncivilized, improper, natural, instinctive actions. This is what implied by the word Mrityuhu. Look at this. You go and search for this meaning of the word in dictionary, you cannot find this meaning. Mrityu will only find it as death. As I said, Upanishad itself does not talk about, only mentions this avantara phalam. It stops. What is the avantara phalam? Upanishad is not interested in revealing. But Shankara Bhagavatpada goes to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. From there he brings the quotation and he shows us this is what the avantara phalam. But Upanishad thinks, when Upanishad is interested in making us combine upasanam and karma, Upanishad does not want to waste its time in showing what is avantara phalam. But Upanishad cannot hide what? Mukhya Palam. It has to talk about the Mukhya Palam. So, Mrityum Tarati. A person crosses over Mrityuhu. Crosses over Mrityuhu, overcomes Mrityuhu means what? Overcoming Mrityuhu does not mean overcoming death. Unrefined minded becomes refined person. It not only it is it has it is both. The person's external actions also will be expressions of refinement, and a person will have internal discipline also. The person will have mastery over his ways of thinking. The word Mrityuhu means having one's own natural instinctive ways of thinking in mind, and externally behaving, external behavior also revealing one's unrefinement is called Mrityuhu. So it is very natural for people to be unrefined, uncultured, being involved in improper actions, not being indisciplined. You can see some people. I don't want to point out who it is specifically. Not here. You can see some people on the roadsides. See, no, there's no discipline of getting up every day. I should get up this time in the morning. I should do my prayer. I should do my worship. I should do my meditation. I should do my japam. First of all, I should bathe early in the morning. Only after puja, after my morning prayers, I go for my food. And then I do what is my important duties. There's no such a discipline. Okay, I go to work, I earn money, come back in the evening, again I do, I keep my house clean. There's no such a discipline. There are people, whenever they want to get up, they get up. Whenever they want to eat, they want to eat. And without, even before shower, they can go and eat. They can drink, they can smoke. There's no discipline. All, you can see, very rough, no? Uncivilized behavior in their activities, you can see. That's called mrityuhu. So, avidyaya mrityum tarati. Let us take first one. Let us see vidya afterwards. Avidyaya mrityum tarati means, by performing a ritual regularly, by performing a ritual means, don't take only the ritual alone here. Just by doing the Veda enjoined, scripture enjoined things, actions. Means by living a religious life, by being religious. Being religious means what? Not simply I am worshipping the Lord, I am praying to the Lord. That alone doesn't make a religious person. By being ethically religious. See, when you say being religious with reference to Veda Shastram means being very busy. You have no time. Get up 8 o'clock in the morning, come to the seashore, have drink, read newspaper, watch some television, violent movies. Where is the time for a Vaidika? Vaidika means the person who is given to live, given to the way of life enjoined by the Shastra. For him, get up in the morning, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, have shower, pray, worship, do puja, then do whatever you want. There's no time. But if you take India back, they'll be very busy. Morning rituals will take so long. Then they have to, as a grihastha, they have to again go for work to earn their livelihood also. There's no time to simply chit-chat and then to have. No time. Means, not that they're simply mechanically religious, they're joyfully, happily religious, because they know what they are doing. See, worshipful, prayerful means they are highly committed to live a life of values, dharma. They will be really, they will not transgress in their behavior universal values. Means ahimsa paramo dharma. They will not do any, they will be very conscious of not doing any harm to anybody. These are what, how can I know the person is highly refined person, highly cultured? No, one must express one's behavior. When the person is very conscious, following dharma, following the universal values means being conscious of not offending, hurting even others' feelings. Not doing anything, no, having thought, word and deed in alignment. That's what nobility. Being noble means, nobility means having one's thought, word and deed in alignment. So it means it expresses when a person of dharma, ahimsa, then naturally what you speak, what you do, what you think, everything you will be very conscious of. That's why then only you can see there'll be word, person will be a person of very kind words, very compassionate person, loving person, caring person. That express, the behavior should express commitment to dharma. And also that's called God fearing, means not simply, you know, God come and punish me. Not for that. God being God fearing, in the words of the Veda Shastram, being God fearing means not going against the universal values. Because you know why? If I go against dharma, then if I rub against dharma, dharma will rub against me. Why? That's the nature of dharma. The nature of order. Universal, natural, moral law and order. The innate natural law, order. See, the problem is we look at everything as inert. That's the problem. Nothing is inert here. Everything is manifestation of knowledge here. In living and non-living, everything is manifestation of knowledge here. Therefore, the order, the universal order, in the form of natural laws which govern the results of actions, are all ordered. Isn't it? Suppose we go and touch the fire, fire will burn your finger. If you go and suppose rub your back against the tree, okay, sometimes very sweating here, very itchy here, so let me go and rub my back against the tree for some time. Very nice. Nobody is coming and scratching my back, so let me ask the tree to scratch my back. So I go near the tree, and then poor tree doesn't come to me. Okay, I go to the tree and go and have my back scratched, rubbed. Very nice. After some time, blood starts oozing. Keep on rubbing, because very nice in the beginning. So after some time, the tree's bark starts rubbing against. The blood comes, then it burns. Then I say, oh my God, my back is burning. The tree has rubbed my back. If I say, what will the tree say? Shut up. I never came behind you. I never came or ran after you. You were the one who came near me. You only rubbed your back against me. Because you rubbed me, so you got rubbed. Okay? Similarly, fire does not burn your finger if you touch. Burning is not an action on the part of fire. Burning is the nature of fire. Similarly, if our actions knowingly done, unknowingly done, isn't it, intentionally done, unintentionally done actions transgress the universal values, when we rub against the order, we disturb the order, the disturbed order will rub you against. Why? That's the nature of the order. Nature of dharma. Dharma protected will protect you. Unprotected, rubbed will rub you against. So be prepared. Why should we say, let me be intelligent. It's called intelligently, okay? Living one's life intelligently means what? Understand the nature of the order. Be friendly with order. Live in harmony with the order. Live in tune with the order. How can I live in tune with the order, harmony with the order, and be blessed by the order? Follow values. So understand, if I rub against the order, I will be rubbed against. If I don't rub against the order, if I live my life in harmony with the order, I'll be blessed by the order. If you understand this fact, if you live your life intelligently, that's called God-fearing. Okay? You don't need to mechanically, God not come and punish you here, anywhere. Paras Bhagavan is in the form of order. Isn't it? So, a person who understanding dharma and who can live a life of dharma, to understand the values, to follow values, one must be sensitive, one must be sharp. So this discipline, that's why following the Veda enjoined duties and rituals in due course of time will help you overcome that instinctive, natural, instinctive, unrefined, okay, behavior. So, as if I said, uncivilized person will become a civilized, cultured, refined person. This is what, not only actions, even a person will have mastery over his natural ways of thinking. Sometimes we do not create thoughts. So many thoughts may come. But even as the thoughts come, you cannot undo the thoughts, but you can say yourself, these thoughts are inappropriate thoughts. Okay? An intelligent person will not let such wrong thinking to be expressed, to be implemented in the form of actions. So, having mastery or ways of thinking is also possible. Then, one's external behavior also will be expression of mental refinement. That's called what? Mrityutaranam. Is it very clear? Mrityum tarati. So, this doesn't take place overnight. So, first it happens. This mental refinement, intellectual sharpness, emotional stability, etc. comes as a result of performing nitya karma, ritual, enjoined by the shastram. Which means, we have substitute for everything here. Next, vidyaya amritam ashnute. Now, amritam, the word amritam, now what is that? First he has this, then tirtva. Now that indignable participle is used, which means having become a refined person, now emotionally, mentally, as well as in his external behavior. I'll explain more when I do the bhashyam. Okay? Vidyaya amritam ashnute. So, as a result of practicing meditation, this person attains amritam. Amritam literally means what? Immortality. But here, amritam means devata bhavaha. It is not moksha. Literally, amrita means moksha. But here it does not mean moksha, does not mean immortality. Here it means devatatma bhavaha. A person will have a better shariram. A person will have the status of being a devata. Varuna, Indra, etc. Shastram talks about such higher beings. Will have the status of being a higher, being of higher order. Suppose once you have devatatma bhava, devata bhava, what will happen? One can attain kramamuktihi. Even kramamuktihi is also possible. So, vidyaya amritam ashnute means ultimately a person can attain kramamuktihi. How? By having devata bhava. by having the status of being a devata. So to have the status of being a devata, to attain Kama Muktihi, isn't it? First of all, one must become mentally refined. Behave externally, internally, there must be refinement in the mind and expression of refinement in one's behavior must be there. So absence of mental refinement and the expression of one's being uncivilized behavior is called mrityuhu. So first the person, as a result of performing rituals, following religious disciplines, a person becomes refined and thereby he becomes qualified to have the devata bhava, thereby he attains even krama muktihi. This is the mukhya phalam. Mukhya phalam means what? Karma upasana samuchaya phalam. Now after knowing this phalam, who will be interested in devalokaha, pritrulokaha? We will not be interested in avantara phalam. We will be interested only in mukhya phalam. Is it clear? Doubt comes. You know, once you know the mukhya phalam, the result of following the samuchaya, then you will not be interested in avantara phalam, I said. Will you like one small house or one whole city? Which will you prefer? Which will you prefer? That's what. Avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya amritam ashnute. So now we can understand mrityu taranam amritatva praptihi. We can say devatatma praptihi or devatatma bhavaha. Devatatma bhavaha. Shankara Bhagavatpada says devatatma bhavaha. Mrityuhu, he says swabhavikam karma jnanam. Natural instinctive ways of thinking, act, behaving, etc. It means a person becomes refined. We'll come back and see the Bhashyam for the 11th mantra. Only few lines are there. We'll do the few lines tomorrow, we'll read. Okay, we'll read the few lines tomorrow and quickly we can move on to the 12th and 13th and we can now go fast. Not much simple verses. Now we can understand how the verses are elaboration of Karma Yoga. See, what is the purpose of going through the path of karma? What is the purpose of living a life of Karma Yoga? What is the purpose of following the discipline of Karma Yoga? If any karma you do, if it contributes for mental refinement, it is called yoga. Whatever you do physically, whatever you do orally, your physical, oral, mental activities, if they contribute for mental refinement, only then they can be called yoga. Even suppose sitting in the temple whole day worshipping and praying also will be a mere karma if it does not contribute for mental refinement. That is why If anything you do has to contribute for mental refinement, emotional maturity, isn't it? Emotional stability, definitely then Purushartha must be very clear. And becomes a, then that is why here why karma? That is why always in Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grihastha Ashrama, we have to very physically very active. Very active means not doing something useless. Useful, productive, constructive, contributive activities. Not useless. Very useful, constructive, contributive, productive activities. So when you involve, and because of the mental disposition, because of commitment to Bhagavan and Dharma, you follow the disciplines knowing the value of disciplines, you follow the values knowing the value of values, therefore following disciplines is not, will be a joy, will not be a burden. Suppose if you do not know the value of disciplines, your disciplines always, you know, pushed on you, you feel very burdened. There's some people run away from places when if you discipline them too much, they can't stand. They want to go away. It's a burden because they do not know the value of following disciplines. So being disciplined means you are organized person. What I'm doing this time. And whatever you're doing, you're not mechanically doing, you're very thoughtfully, consciously doing, because you're conscious of not going against Dharma, not offending, not hurting, very careful. Therefore, you're not mechanical. It's not mechanical actions. See, a Karma Yogi is a busy person, at the same time, not mechanically performing person. Not mechanical at all, very conscious and doing everything. Very thoughtful. Isn't it? That is why it contributes for intellectual sharpness, emotional stability. That way it helps a person in due course of time to overcome natural instinctive behavior. It's called Mrityu Taranam. And Upasanam also help. Again, along with such physical activities, a person always given to the practice of Upasanam, a result of which a person has Devatatma Bhavaha. Thereby one can attain even Karmamuktihi. This is Samuchaya Palam. Karma Upasana Samuchaya Palam Mukhya Palam. Questions? We come back and read the Bhashan tomorrow. Okay? Quickly.
So my question is regarding Mukhya Palam. So Mukhya Palam would be the result of combining karma and
upasana.
But attaining karma mukti would not be the goal of someone who wishes to attain self-realization.
Yeah.
So is it like a default? I don't know how to express this.
No, I can understand what you're asking. See, what I'm saying, it is possible for a person to go to attend Kama Muktihi, but you don't need to attend Kama Muktihi. If you have mental refinement here itself you can be given to the study of Shravanam Mananam, you can take up. Then you have become qualified for attainment of Jnanam here itself. Phalam is there. So here, Samuchyaha will prepare you for jnanam here itself. Okay, if at all Devatatma Bhava is possible, mean the palam is said there, you attain moksha here itself by attaining jnanam. Isn't it? That is why, suppose you, when you become mature, even you can say, I am not interested in loka. Then, this, even by following this, by samuchaya, by practicing samuchaya, by following the karma and upasana together, the maturity, you can have maturity, then you can say, I am not interested in lokas. I want only atma. Then, you can grow, you can give up, that's called giving up. The maturity comes, you can give up actions, you can even go for the Parishuddha Manach. But it is not possible to give up if you do not know, we are not mature. See, I tell you one thing, without performing actions, without performing rituals, without practicing meditation, without having lived a disciplined life, okay? A person comes to know, jnanam is the only means of attaining moksha. Let me attain jnanam. Let me become, let me give every, all activities. Let me go for sannyasa. Somebody decides. He is not qualified. He can decide to give up. He is not qualified to go for jnanam. He is not at all disciplined. Disciplining the mind takes time. That's why karma is so much of emphasis he is given here. Is it clear? So a person becomes mature, he can take to a life of sannyasa. Or even without taking to a life of sannyasa, he can go take to the discipline of pursuit of knowledge. That maturity, how will you get? How will you become qualified for jnana? How will you be disciplined enough for taking to the life of sannyasa or pursuit of knowledge? Is it clear? So, the person who doesn't do karma, there is no way of disciplining your mind. There is no way of having mental refinement. Tomorrow I will tell you only. It's time now. Tomorrow I will tell you. I was going to recite a verse from mantra, a shloka, explain what you answer as an answer to your question. Tomorrow I will do it. Is it clear now? Have you answered your question now itself? Yeah. Any other question? No questions.
Just to clarify my understanding, can we say that karma leads to purification, meditation leads to purification, but in the combination it leads to faster, more efficient purification that makes me then eligible for the high practices?
Yes. Definitely. It means nothing goes waste. Practice separately also is effective. When you combine them, it gives you a better result. Mrityuhu. Actually, Shankara Bhagavad gives two meanings. We'll come back and see tomorrow. I love it on it. Mrityu Taranam, crossing over Mrityu. What does the word Mrityu mean? I explain. Tomorrow again we'll see in light of Shankara's commentary. And also, Amrita, Amrita Ashanam. Attainment of immortality. Amrita means what? Not really moksha. We'll see what it is. Om. You all have to appreciate whatever you are doing in this ashram in the light of the teaching. You really know the value of what you are trained to be here. Really, I highly validate it. I see the value of it. Om.
Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. May Bhagwan Paramatma bless all of us, all of you, with the fulfillment of all your greatest wishes. May Bhagwan bless you all with the clear vision of the teaching.